Father, we love you so much. Lord, I'm so thankful to be here. I'm thankful for your Holy Spirit and what you're doing in my life. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would feel such freedom here this morning. In each of our hearts, in each of our minds, Lord, that you would reveal the things in us that no longer need to be there, that you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, may our eyes be open this morning. If there's any area in our life that we need to repent of, Father, I pray that you would strengthen us and encourage us this morning. May thy will be done now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So the title of the message today is Recognizing the Counterfeit. And I would like you to open up your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. It seems darker up here this morning. We got some lights out. I thought, am I getting that old? I'm having trouble seeing here. I heard it happens just like that. But 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "The Spirit clearly says that in the latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons." I want y'all to hear what that says again. That in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. So what I see there is that by abandoning the faith, then that means you must have had the faith to begin with, right? You must have been a believer to begin with. And so to abandon the faith and then following the deceiving spirits and the things taught by demons, when you think of that, a deceiving spirit, its deception is very minimal sometimes, but it's just enough to get you to stray off the righteous path. It's just enough to get you to go the wrong route. Verse 2 says, "Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose conscience have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truth of the faith and of the good teachings that you have followed." Well, I don't know about y'all, but I want to be a good minister. I want to be a good preacher. And here it's saying that if I point these things out, then I'm going to be that good preacher. I'm going to be that good minister. Okay? And so the reality is what I see going on in our nation today is a lot of deception and a lot of falsehoods, and even falsehoods being taught from the pulpit. Even the little bit of deception being taught in our churches today. And we need to be aware of what's going on and make sure that we can clearly see the counterfeit. Matthew 7:15 says, "Watch out for the false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves." Have you guys ever been bit by a dog? Any of you? Has anybody here ever been bit by a dog? Some of you? What's usually the worst dog to try and bite you that I've had experience with? It's the little bitty dog, isn't it? It's a little bitty dog. When I've been delivering to people's homes and everything, it's usually the little dog. My aunt had this little, she's always had chihuahuas, and some of her chihuahuas through the years are the ones that are the meanest. They'll growl and they try and bite me. And you know, a lot of times when we go to visit, she would have to put a chihuahua in its carrier in the basement because that thing was so mean. And so what I've seen is the little dog, and what cracks me up is these little dogs, and you think, why are you even being so mean? Why are you even barking like that? Why are you even acting like that? Like you could really do something. But boy, they'll just say, yeah. You know, even in my FedEx truck, I'll be driving along sometime and there's one route that I take and there's this little dog and it'll come running right next to the road just barking like crazy. And I think, if you run in front of me, you're going to get killed. You know, it's like, what's wrong with you? But y'all, I guess what I'm trying to say here is that sometimes the looks can be deceiving, and it's the little dogs that you got to watch out for. Sometimes looks can be deceiving, and the people around you, you think might be your friends, think might be these wonderful people, are really sheep, or they're really wolves in sheep's clothing. We need to be so cautious of the influences that we are allowing in our lives. We need to be so cautious of the of what we're listening to, whether it's on the radio, through the sermons we hear on the radio, or it's our friends, or it's our Bible studies. We need to be so aware of what we're listening to and how we're listening to it and what we're taking in. Romans 16, verse 17 through 19 says, I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause division and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teachings you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talking and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I am full of joy over you, but I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. And as I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about the wolves in sheep's clothing, and I was thinking about the people that's in our lives, and I was thinking about, is there anyone in your life that it just seems that they're always stirring up stuff? They're always talking bad about someone. They're always stirring up division, and there's always a crisis. There's always this. There's always that, and we have to watch out for those people also. You think just a little bit of negativity, just a little bit of griping and complaining, and how quickly it can grab hold of you, and you're participating in it also. But think about it, even with the Lord, that they're always trying to cause division. You know, I thank God for our church body, because I feel like we have really solid people here at this church. But in the past, it's not always been that way with our church and other churches that I know. And it seems like there's people that will come in and their whole goal is to mess things up. And boy, they can be sweet and sugary and just so wonderful. And they're the person that's always so seems so kind. But when you get to visit them with them, what are they doing? Just little remarks, just little comments. Boy, I sure didn't like the songs this morning. Oh, but bless Mitzi's heart. She does such a wonderful job, but boy, she sure could do some of this. That Pete, I sure do love Pete, but bless his heart, he tells the same stories over and over. Yeah, bless their heart. Division! Division and trying to put seeds in that before long, if we're not careful, they plant deep down inside, and then we start thinking, well, you know what? It's time to get a new worship leader. You know what? Pete's been here 13, 14, 15 years now. It's time for a change. Division. Division. You got to watch out, y'all, that the people that you're listening to, and you also got to watch yourself, that you're not spreading that, that you're not the one saying all that. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Second Corinthians 11:1, he says, I hope you will put up with a little of my foolishness, but you are already doing that. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. When I read this, and y'all, I'm not just saying this, I really believe that's the way I feel about y'all. I have a jealousy a godly jealousy for you because I want you to be so righteous and so pure and so devoted to God, and I don't want you going astray. And I feel that same way about you. Verse 3 says, but I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Y'all, we've seen that happen. We've seen that happen. People being led astray. Where the evilness and the deception has come in. And oh, it's not a big blatant sin right at first, but this deception seeps in, and before long, they're lost and they're gone. We have to be so careful of what we're listening to, what we're allowing in our lives, so that we're not led astray. Verse 4 says, but if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preach, or if you received a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with us with it easily enough, but I do not think I am the least inferior to those super apostles. I may be a trained speaker, but I may not be a trained speaker, but I do have knowledge. We have made this perfectly clear to you in every way. Y'all, the whole reason why I wanted to read that is just be careful of the deception. Just as Eve was led astray, we too can be led astray. And this is where I really wanted to camp out for just a minute, is counterfeits. Okay? And what a counterfeit is. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 4. And, testing the spirits, okay? And what I really want you to think about as we're reading these next few verses is testing the spirits, testing and see what's real and what's true around you, testing and see what's real and true in your life. 1 John chapter 4 verse 1, it says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world, and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Testing the spirits, and you guys have probably heard this before, but for someone who is checking counterfeit money, do you know how they check counterfeit money? It's not by studying the counterfeit, it's by studying the genuine, it's by studying the real. I was reading up on it, and I didn't write it down because I didn't want to get too lengthy, but they have certain things that they do to money. They feel it, they examine it up against the light, they have the coloring and all that they say it's hard for counterfeiters to duplicate, but what they do is they know the real and the genuine so well that when they see a counterfeit, it's like instant. Does that make sense? And what I'm trying to say here, and testing the spirits, is recognizing the falsehoods that have crept into our churches today, recognizing the false prophets, those that are those wolves in sheep's clothing, testing the spirits that we know, that we know, that we know Jesus Christ so well, that we know, that we know, that we know the Word of God so well, that when a counterfeit comes, we recognize it immediately. When I've competed in that truck driving championship before, one of the things that they do is they send us videos and they have us practice. And part of the championship thing that we got to do is we have to do inspections on the truck. And what they do is they'll plant defects and they'll put little things in the truck that we're supposed to recognize that it's not supposed to be there. From flat tires to a little piece of wire hanging off the axle. They'll do all kinds of stuff. And what you got to do in the competition is you got to be able to point that out, and it's time. So you got to be able to point it out quickly and keep moving. So how do I know when there's a defect? It's by knowing what the truck is supposed to look like. But this last time I competed, y'all want to know one of the things that I missed? In the windshield, taped to the windshield, it said on a piece of paper, "Good luck." And it was right in front of the steering wheel. I didn't call it. I'm thinking they're saying, "Good luck, you know, we're competing, we're going." I didn't call it as a defect, but now you know what? If I was getting in that truck to drive it down the road and there was a piece of paper in front of me, I'd say, "That's a defect, that's not supposed to be there." And I'd untape it and I'd pull it down. But in my mind, I didn't even recognize that as something that wasn't supposed to be there, because I'm looking for major things, and that little thing I missed. Y'all, sometimes that's the way Satan is. It's that little thing that when you look back, you say, "That's so obvious. How did I miss that?" But it was a nice message telling us good luck. It was a good thing, you know? It wasn't a big deal. But I missed it. When I was younger, there was these sunglasses that everybody wanted. They were Oakley sunglasses, and they were $100 a pair or something like that. And all at once, you could see at a lot of the gas stations and stuff, they had their I think it was by the registered and stuff, and there'd be these Oakley sunglasses for $10 a pair. You could buy them from different people for like $10 or $15 a pair, and it's like, wow, that's cheap. They're $100 at the mall, or $150 at the mall, and these are only $10. I wasn't an expert. I thought they were genuine, maybe in my being naive. But I had somebody that had a genuine pair tell me it was something to do with the clasp, and I can't explain it. If I seen it, I could know it, but it doesn't have screws holding the sides onto the frames. It's made differently, so there's no screws in it. The imitations had screws. I didn't know sunglasses that well back then. I just wanted a pair. And I was naive. I was deceived. I didn't know what the genuine was. Is this making sense to anybody this morning? Are y'all getting it? See, that's the thing, is what we need to be able to recognize the falseness in the church today, and the false prophets, and the deceiving spirits, and all those things that are coming in and trying to take over the body of Christ. And it's, can you recognize right now? Do you think you can recognize a false teacher? Can you recognize right now a falsehood? Could you recognize it to the point that if I was wearing a white t-shirt up here this morning and had a grease stain right there, it would stick out like a sore thumb, right? And you guys would all be able to see it easily. But many of us, we don't have a close enough relationship with Jesus Christ. We haven't studied the Word enough to recognize the deception that's taking place. Can you really say that I know that I know that I know that I can recognize it, and that I know that I know that I know I'm testing the spirits, and I'm keeping my life in check, and I'm watching out for what's going on? One of the first things that I recognized as I was studying for this is one of the first things that you can recognize, and whether they're false or whether they're genuine, is love. What kind of love do you have? Mark 12:30-31 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." And the second is this: "Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." Are there people in your life that you recognize them by how much love they have? Could people recognize in your life that you're different because of how much love you're displaying? Because of the love that you have for your Heavenly Father and then the love that you have for your neighbor. Y'all, I'm really wanting us to recognize this in our own lives. Could people say that you're genuine, or could people say, I've studied the real and I don't see the love in the church today. I don't see the love in the body of believers today that the gospel says that we're supposed to have. Could people really say that we're a genuine, real church? This isn't church. Showing up here on Sunday morning is not being a believer. It's part of it. Do not forsake the fellowship of believers. It's part of it to be here and encourage each other, but it's the action that we're taking by being a believer and by showing that type of love. John 13:35 says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. That's amazing to me. All men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, right after, in 1 John chapter 4, where it's talking about testing the spirits, verse 7 says, 1 John 4:7 says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Don't miss that, church. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. How's your love this morning? How's those people that you call your brothers and sisters in Christ? How's their love? Verse 9 says, this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. You want to recognize how you are? Where's your love level at? Verse 13, we know that we live in Him and He in us because He has given us His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in Him and He in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in Him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like Him. I'm not going to lie. When I think about standing before God, fear often grips my heart. And the reality is that someday when I stand before Him, none of y'all is going to be there. It's going to be me and Him. And the same for you. It's going to be you and Him. But I think it's so interesting here that we can have confidence because in this world we're like Him. How many of us are truly like Jesus in this world? We're so full of love. We're so full of genuine love and a sacrifice that Jesus came and He came for you and for me. And he laid down His life for you and for me. And how many of us are laying down our lives for those around us? Genuinely laying down our lives and putting others' needs first. And being that type of witness and showing that type of love. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this commandment, whoever loves God must also love his brother. I had a reality check of this week in my own personal life. And it's easy to love y'all. Y'all's pretty lovable, you know. But it's not always easy to love people that you, at Walmart, people that you work with, people that you're driving with, people that don't know how to drive. It's not always easy to love those people. And this week, I had an incident. I don't even know if you would call it an incident, but it was an incident in my heart and in my mind that I wasn't loving somebody very much for how rude they were to me. And God said, what's wrong with you, basically? That person needs me. That person needs me. That person doesn't understand. They're lost. And y'all, if we as Christians are supposed to be showing love to the lost, but sometimes the lost are the most unlovable, so we got to get our lives right, and we got to learn to recognize that we battle not against flesh and blood, but what? Against the principalities of darkness, against the evil realm of, and the spiritual realm is what we're battling against. And so, no wonder it's so hard to love some people. But y'all, if we want to be genuine, we want to be real, it says God is love, and that we should be like Him in this world. By this, all men that will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. I'm going to go back to 1 Timothy, where we began at. Remember, we began with the Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. And I want to jump down to verse 6. And it says, if you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truth of the faith and the good teachings that you have followed. It says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourselves to be godly. Are you training yourself to be godly? Someone that's an expert in money, they have to spend time and effort of studying a real dollar bill, a real $100 bill. They study it so closely that as soon as they see a fake, they recognize it. Are we training ourselves to be so godly? It says, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promises for both the present life and the life to come. You know, when I was in my 20s and part of my 30s, I did a lot of working out, a lot of training, a lot of lifting weights, a lot of that. And I'm ashamed to say, though, that in that stage of my life, I spent more time lifting weights and exercising than I did studying the Word of God, because I thought that was what was important. You know, there's people today that think their physical appearance is so important, they spend more time on their physical than they do their spiritual. I don't want to get too personal here, but I'm just gonna, okay? I would think there's probably people that spend more time putting their makeup on than they do reading their Bible. There's people that spend more time fixing their hair than they do their Bible. There's guys, some of you guys might do the same thing, spend more time fixing your hair than you do the Bible. There's guys that'll spend more time studying the statistics of the basketball teams that they love or the football teams that they love and watching a game on Saturday afternoon. You watch one football game on Saturday afternoon and it'll take 2.5-3 hours of your day. And I would wonder how many of you have even spent 2.5-3 hours all week in the Word of God. I'm meddling, ain't I? Are we counterfeits this morning? Or are we genuine? See, that's what's real. showing up for church doesn't make you a genuine Christian. It's living the life. It's knowing Jesus Christ. It's training yourself. Rather, train yourself to be godly. This verse 9, this is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. And for this we labor and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, and especially those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Don't miss this, okay? If you've fallen asleep, wake up. But set an example for believers in speech. Are you genuine in your speech this morning? In your life? Can people look at your life and go, man, I know that woman, I know that man. I see their life. I see that they're full of Jesus Christ. I see that they're being a Christian. In your love? Are we an example in our love? You know what? Love sometimes isn't convenient. Love sometimes means when your family member's sick and you're cleaning up the mess that they made and you're delivering them food in bed and you're making sure that they're taken care of. Love isn't always convenient. Sometimes love is hard. And faith. Are you an example in your faith that you're not shaken by what's going on, the storms of this life? And in your purity. Oh, man. You know, we can sit here on Sunday morning and be so pure and pious. What if I come to your house? What if I looked at what's in your nightstand? What if I seen what your radio station was on? What if I, you know, looked in your cabinets? Until I come, devote yourself to public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gifts, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. I love that. May see your progress. Have you blown it this week? Maybe you did. But that don't mean you quit. That don't mean you go back to the world. You ask God to forgive you and you get up and you keep going. So that they may see your progress. Maybe this week you lost your temper. Maybe next week you won't. And maybe the next week you won't. And the next week you won't. And then all at once people will go, man, that guy, he used to always blow up at the job. I hadn't seen him lose his temper in a long time. Verse 16, watch your lives and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Are you genuine this morning, or are you a counterfeit? I want to end with this, because y'all, stuff I'm hearing is crazy, what's going on in the church today. I heard this week that there's a church with like 35,000 members on the East Coast that's decided no longer is the Old Testament needed. Some other churches has become real popular and sweeping that there's no longer a hell. Isaiah 5, 20 through 21, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine and champion at making mixed drinks. And it goes on, but I wanted to stop there. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. I really want to preach a whole sermon on that, but I just wanted to end with that because, y'all, it's happening today. It's even happening in the church. And we have to know that we know that we know that we recognize what's the spirit of truth and what's deceiving spirits. Let's stand. Lord, I thank you for your word. And I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit that you've searched every heart in here, Lord, and that if any of us have been living a counterfeit life, Lord, we're not full of You. We're full of the world. Our desire is to be like the world. Our desire is to pleasure our flesh. And Lord, that we would recognize this morning, that we would repent of that we would cry out to You and recognize that You will forgive us when we turn to You. And Father, I pray that You would so fill us with Your love. Lord, a love that we can't do on our own. It can only be done through the filling of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, that people might recognize that the holiness and the purity in our lives, the love that we have for those around us, that we would be genuine and real, that there would be no falsehood found in any one of us this morning. So that someday when we stand before You, Lord, that we won't have to fear. But You can say, "Well done, Thy good and faithful servants," and welcome us in. Father, may there be none here deceived this morning. May there not be a false sense of security if they're lost. But may our eyes be open to what we need to do. To the truth of Your Word. To the truth of Your Holy Spirit. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Church, if you have questions this morning, if maybe you felt like God's pricking your heart this morning, there's been some deception in your life and you've been led astray, or maybe you're recognizing that your life doesn't really line up with the Word of God, today is the day to repent. Now is the time to come to the front and come to these altars and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you and get your life back right and on track. However the Lord leads now.
Set free, my my God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, just ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God, who calls me here below, will be forever mine.
I was trying to decide whether I should say this or not. But this message was inspired by one person. And it's a person that I'm not going to say their name. But sometimes this person will see stuff in devotionals and things, and I don't see it. And I'm like, why? What? I don't get it. Why? What? What problem do they have with this? But it's like just something jumps off the pages at them that something's not right here. And I was thinking about that this week, and I thought I kind of got a different perspective all at once this week. And I thought, how awesome is that? That they know the Word of God so well that any falsehoods, they can't even help themselves. They just see it. Anything that doesn't quite line up a little bit, it just jumps off the page and they see it. And they can't help but share it. And I thought, God, I'm not there. I'm not. But I want to be. I want to be so close to my Heavenly Father that I can't be deceived. Because I'm testing the spirits and I'm seeing truth. And only truth. And when the falsehoods are there, I recognize it right away so that I can't even let it in my life. And that was the whole point where this message stemmed from. Can people see the real Jesus in your life? The real love in your life? If they can't, you better check your walk. And you better start walking it right now. We don't know how much time we got left before we're standing before the Lord. He'll forgive you. He'll welcome you in. Lest begin to follow Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, to love Him like that. And then to love those around us with a godly love. And that's a whole other sermon, a godly love. A godly love isn't saying, okay, do what you want. No, a godly love is discipline. A godly love is correction. I love you, church, and I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy, because I want to see you all in heaven someday. I want us all to make it. Don't let the world, don't let Satan deceive you like he did Eve. Y'all have a blessed afternoon. Hope to see y'all next Sunday.